Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for that. Amen. Are there questions we like to ask? Maybe you need clarification on something, or you want to add to what Pastor might have said, maybe by reason of your experience, want to share with us? Anybody? Anybody? Pastor Bolu, you're welcome. I thought you were not coming tonight. Okay, let me try and add to what Pastor have said. I want to say this, that there are different perspectives that was employed by God in order to unveil the nature, the operation, the... I've spoken about the nature, I've spoken about the operation, I want to speak about the expectancy, life expectancy of sin. Because when you look at sin, the way it was dealt with in Genesis, it's not the same way Jesus approached it. Now, when Paul began to approach it, especially in the book of Romans, is not the way he approached it in the book of Galatians. I hope you understand that. Now, when it got to James, that was the way James approached it. Praise God. And essentially, they were trying to say and speak about the same thing. Therefore, we need to understand that this topic does not have a one-shop solution. In other words, it's the members of the children church. Please let us settle them. It is, you need to bribe them. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to be able to have an understanding of those insights that God gave us. So when I say it's not one shop, the likelihood is that We can put all of them together, or try to assume one or something means one. Now, that is this illustration I'm trying to use. I don't know whether you've had that illustration, that if you bring four or five different blind men to touch an elephant, sir, six of them, six blind men, they will give a different description of an elephant. But for you to have an understanding of what they were trying to say, you have to bring everything together and you have an idea of what they were trying to say. But if you say, okay, the guy that was touching the trunk is the one that is correct, you will also will not be correct. I hope you understand that. Now, when we try to break down sin, it works at different levels. Are you with me? Different levels. There is a macro, like I was saying last week, there's a macroscopic level and there's a microscopic level. Amen. And there are antidotes, or rather technologies of dealing with different aspects of it. Amen. So when you have sin as an entity, are you with me? Residing within your person, it's a different operation when Satan is leveraging and leaning on you and trying to get you to do what is wrong. Praise God. When that happens, it's called temptation. Are you with me? When that happens, it's called temptation. Another aspect of what Pastor is trying to say is another area that is very, very I like with the word, is unclear, is the difference between the spirit of man and the Holy Ghost. We hear people tell you, how do you know that this is your wife? He said, I have peace within. No one told me. Oh, you have peace.
Okay.
After 5 months, sister, how far? The boy does not call me again. Oh, but I thought you had peace before. So what happened? What happened to your peace? So that means you didn't even hear God at the beginning. You had something else. And so you assumed it was God. And until we are able to differentiate those operations, we'll keep assuming a lot. And so when there is a sin operating within our hearts, you must not confuse it with when Satan is operating his own and trying to get you to do what you should not do. So when Pastor was saying, there was this thing I was looking at. I want to look at Satan again. I will try and I'm just trying to see if I can make it simpler. Matthew 16:23. I don't know whether the Amplified will be a better version or which other version. Which other Bible is there apart from NIV? This is Amplified. There's another one. Who can help me? But give me to nevertheless. And Jesus turned away from Peter and said unto me, him, get behind me, Satan. You are in my way, an offense and an hindrance and a snare to me. For you are minding what partakes not to the nature and quality of God, but of men. Now, let me put it in a simple way. What Jesus was essentially saying about Satan, it was saying that Satan, you are not interested in God's agenda. Every time he comes, he is promoting the agenda of men. Does that make a little more sense? So when Satan comes, what he is interested in having you do is go for your own comfort. Whatever makes you comfortable, whatever makes you okay, I'm with you. I love it like that. Hallelujah. You understand? Whereas if you know God, God denies you many things. I mean, it's true, the whole Bible. You have to deny yourself. Don't do this. Don't do this. But he comes and says, look, me. With me, I have no problem. Enjoy yourself. Well, that way, enjoy yourself. Again, that is the nature of sin inside of him. Wanting to have his own way. Are you with me? That's the day inside you. That's why Pastor used that illustration. If you go into that place, how many of you, please, praise the Lord. When you meet, you can talk for 2 hours. You can gist. And nothing happens. But let's say, praise God, let us pray. Something we just relax. What's the problem? Why are they calling us to pray? Many of us can watch seasonal film. Abi? But say, let us study Bible. Something within you will revolt. Now, you say, Kowala Tinumi. What is talking? Is sin. And Paul tried to differentiate himself as a person from that nature. That sin. That he agrees that to pray is okay. How many of you know that it's good to pray every day? But is it easy? Did you kill Jesus? Why is that so? Because sin inside of you is revolting. Amen. And like God told Cain, he said he's standing at the door of your heart. Is it not interesting? There are two characters stands at the doors of our heart. In Revelation, just because I stand where and I'm knocking. He wants to come in. Another one too is also wanting to come in. So it's a choice you make. That's why I said, if you yield yourself, it's a choice. I have a study here about the internal nature, configuration of man. One of it is will. You know about will. There's another one called intention. wọ́n yàtọ̀ síra wọ́ o tún yàtọ̀ sí desire kò ń ṣe mind. Your mind can process something and say, this is not good, but then you want it. Now, I can choose to say, God bless you, sir, but the intention, I don't want him blessed. That is not desire. That is another operation of the heart. Praise God. But he said there is a law that governs everything. There is sin as a personality, but there is a law by which it operates. Do you understand that one? Because everything in life operates by a law. Your configure, your standing. My standing now is a law that is configuring my standing. If that law stops working, I don't know whether I will go to the air or will tumble. What law is that? Is that not gravity? There's gravity. But there's another law, Koyemio, I don't know. Do you know that we are the only animal that walks on two legs? Okay, the only creation, Mabinu. We are the only creation of God that walks on two legs. Doctors have said it, that when a man, if a man is alive like this, pen, you weigh him. Just weigh him like this. There's a weight, X, he will weigh. Let him drop dead. Carry the same man and put on the same weighing machine. It will be weighing X plus Y. What is the difference? Why is it so? Science has not found a solution to that. I don't know whether you're with me. Every animal goes on four. They can't, when a baboon or whatever it is stands and does goo, it will go back on its four. Only man stands. By physics or whatever it is, we are not supposed to be standing. We are supposed to be falling down. So what keeps us standing is a law. I don't know whether you're with me. God himself is governed by laws. Amen. So sin itself operates by laws. And if you understand how it operates, you can undo it. Amen. But it is not given to man by virtue of his natural birth to be able to undo that law of sin and death. Now I want to explain that law of sin and death. But the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Pastor, I hope I'm not touching your message. I'm really trying to add to what you have said. Let's take it from one of those 50. Let's take it from 54 down to 57. Are you there? So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 55. You say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 56. Here, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Say, but say verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us what? Victory through Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The same way he spoke in chapter 7, that who will deliver me? Said, thanks be to God. Praise God. Are you hearing me? Now, here's the progression. What makes it possible for you and I to die is what? Sin. What gives sin capacity is what? The law. Amen. Now, if you go back to Romans chapter 8, Paul said, your spirit is, how did he put it now? Is life. But your body is dead because of sin. He said, but if the spirit that raised Christ from from the. It didn't say they raised Jesus. Oh, that's a revelation for another day. They raised Christ from the dead. Say that same spirit will do what? Quicken your mortal bodies. Then he now said, as many as are led. The leading is not marriage. The leading is to life. Essentially, the work of the Holy Ghost is to lead you to life. And so in chapter 8, it now said, what the law could not do, because it was weak through flesh, God did, that sending his son. Praise God. I hope you are not confused. You are trying. Okay. Maybe the question will help.
Hallelujah. I know this question is for us all to learn. During the week, I was talking with somebody in church, and she was asking me about this issue of sin. And I think this issue of sin within and sin without is still not clear to some people. Like we were reading 1 John now. John began to write that if we say that we have no sin, say we lie, and the truth is not in us. That area, because I told the person, I said, as much as I know that I am still going towards perfection, I am not a sinner. I told the person, a driver is somebody that drives. A sinner is somebody who continues with a lifestyle of sinning. And then from the writings of Paul, that like we have read in, Pastor Billy read in Romans 6 and all that, he still keeps talking about this law working in us. Now, somewhere, where does it reside? So that somebody don't go out there and join the bandwagon of saying, Boboa, Eleshenwa, Ali. What was, though we are reading 1 John, we should talk about it later, but I know that Sunday is not always enough for us to discuss it, but some things we can start discussing now. Where does that thing reside as a Christian, when a Christian stands? That thing John was referring to as sin, or that motion you just explained now, sir, that is that sin talking. Can we place a distinction so that we know how much of God's righteousness we are, and know how that same thing.
You remember when Paul was writing about the predestination, Esau and Jacob? He got to a place, oh, that's rough. Who are you, man, to be asking God a question? When it confused him, could you defend God anymore? That's rough. Well, for me, really, to tell the truth, when you start asking specifics like that, where does it right side, where does it something, again, we have no instrument, whether spiritual or otherwise, to measure or to locate where all these things are. Are you with me? That's why I said there were different, God brought different perspectives to this thing. Maybe it was like God, I think it was not as if God was trying to say this is where this one resides. All was sufficient that these things dwell there inside of your heart. Because why? The Bible says, from the abundance of what? The heart. The man speaks. And he said, for from that heart proceeded all kinds of evil thoughts and behavior. Amen. So if we're able to deal with your heart, we will deal with what is coming out of your heart. So Pastor reminded us that we should do what? Guard our hearts. Now, there are many scriptures. I'm not trying to go over everything that pastors have said. But suffice to say, you see, I had to correct one of my sons when he was saying some nonsense on Facebook. I said, holiness is not a gift. Hello? Holiness is not what? It's not part of the gift of the Spirit. It's not even part of the gift of Christ. You have to take deliberate actions to remain, to be holy. It's intentional in nature. And the Bible says, be thou holy as I am holy. Praise God. And so if we now begin to look at the motions and the things that are there. Now, let me tell you, it's not that while Jesus... Yeah?
The question he was asking. So there are two issues that were weaved together. Okay. And it's good for us to separate this. Now, okay. An individual came that John said that we can't say that there is no sin in us. Abisa. Then, if we say there's, and that, of course, John also says that if we say there's no sin in us, we make God a liar. I guess the question I was expecting is not where did the sin reside. The question that I am expecting is that what is the difference between me and somebody who is out there who is a sinner? Is it me that John was talking about that I still have sin in me? Praise God. That is what I want you to confirm, sir. Because the issue of sin dwelling, where sin was dwelling, does not really important because sin dwells in every aspect of our body. Your eyes can contact sin. Your nose can do.
Okay, maybe we need to... I don't know, well... If you look at 1 John chapter... Can we go to chapter 1? Can we take it from verse 5? Let's try 5. This then is the message we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We say it, that we have fellowship. But the decisions we are making as we yield to the law of sin and death, you made a choice to yield. It was your personal choice. It says you're a liar and there is no truth in you. Right? Next verse. It says, but if we walk in the light. Now, because you need to understand what it meant by the light. Praise God. The light is the same thing Paul was saying in Romans chapter 8. The spirit, the law of the spirit of life, which is what? In Christ Jesus. It now went to say, if you he that yields to the flesh will die. Abi, he that yields to the spirit, which is in Galatians now, will do what? Will live. Praise God. I hope you understand. Now, if you make your choice to live by the law of the spirit of life, it says, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Even in the process of you making mistakes, there's a cleansing going on. Pastor Oge said something some time ago. He said, by reason of the Old Testament, some people were righteous. I don't know whether you remember that message. Because there was a righteousness demanded by that testament. And if they followed it, they were not under anything. Because when that young man came to Jesus, said, I've obeyed everything. Jesus did not say, you're a liar. You're a liar. If I can see you now that you're committing sin. Now, it was thought that the young man was not sinning. Why he had no record was that he was following the prescriptions of the law. That when you sin, you go to the temple to have your sins forgiven. And after that, there is no record. So by that testament, it was okay. Said, I've obeyed everything. I don't know that. Because you must understand these subtle differences. So by reason of the fact that you are walking in the light, there is a cleansing that takes place. And therefore there is no record that is held against you. So the blood of Jesus is on cleanses us from all sin. He now went further. Now look at what he's now saying. If we now further now come kukunam now begin to talk and say that we have no sin. We do deliverance in this church. Keep man
krabosta.
Praise God. He said we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now, we can interpret this way. It means that when you say, I have no sin, you could also be saying that I cannot sin. I don't need sacrifice. I don't need Jesus. I don't need no Jack. I am okay. Hallelujah. I say I have no sin. I have not committed anything. Why will anybody impute anything on me? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you are deceiving yourself. You are also saying that you cannot. Do you follow me? The truth is not in us. What is the truth? That there is propensity to sin in your heart. There is nothing, you have no strength to say no to unrighteousness except grace is given. You have to recognize your inadequacies, your weaknesses, your inabilities, and for that reason you have to go to the throne of grace to obtain what? Mercy. And find help. Amen. Do you understand? Now, look at the next verse, verse 9. He now went on to say this. If we do what? Confess our sins. He is faithful. Just like the Old Testament, they went to the temple to go and do what? To confess their sins. They will carry the goats and the sacrifice and bring before the high priest or whoever the priest, and the priest will make the atonement sacrifice on their behalf, and that sin they have committed is cancelled. But Paul said that they had remembrance of that sin. The memory is there. That means they still know how to go back and commit that sin without any. They are gifted sinners. Praise God. Perpetual. How many of you here were taught how to steal? No, let me not use the word steal. You were taught how to, I don't know whether you guys were as bad as me. You go and take meat inside your mother's pot. If you didn't do that, you are not human. You are not a Nigerian. Praise God. Amen. It was a common thing. You steal something, you come back and count. I said, this thing has finished. I don't know anything. I was not there. Unfortunately, if it's unfortunate, the thing splashed on your body. God, you answer judgment on that day. Blessed are those mothers who know how to bring judgment. Amen. So if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to do what? Forgive us. Not only that, cleanse us. That means not only will the cleansing be done in your heart, the cleansing will be done with your records. One of the most potent weapons of war of Lucifer is accusation. But he that accuses the brethren before God, our brethren, day and night. And you know why he accuses? So that he can compel God, just like he compelled God to allow him execute judgment upon Job. So when he comes with his accusation, and God turns to Jesus and said, this boy has done Satan, I said he has done this. Is it true? Jesus will say, this is the record, sir. They will read it on the so-so-so day. Sorry, Father, there is no record he committed anything. Satan, he did it now. I was there. I have picture. They said, there is no record here. Why? The blood washed it. So it's not just your heart, and that's where the cleansing of the heart comes up. That the memory. Don't you understand what I mean by memory? Let me explain memory to you. When I was very young, it was very interesting. I was such a fantastic footballer. Let me sing my praise. Praise God. Pastor Bolu, you know I went to Aquinas. I was there for 1 year. I was only from one student. I used to play football with from five students. That was how good I was. You don't know. Ramalulu, you don't know. Okay. I'm telling you that one. Few years ago, I carried ball. And I tried some maneuvers. And my body could not respond. I said, I just gave you an order to do what you used to do. And my, you know what? My body had forgotten how. The program had been removed. And I said, yes, now I know I'm growing old. Praise God. It's called muscle memory. They have memory. Praise God. So if you leave the presence of God and you are confronted with the same sin, something within you has lost its capacity to react the way you normally react. So when they slap you, your natural default response, wait, you would have given into oh mommy ni ha jugunu funra mi jesu loba mi ah ora igogo nonsense any. Praise God, that memory is still strong. But when they finish dealing with you and they slap you, say, God bless you. Ha. So we're okay. Because you didn't respond. That means that memory has been removed. You have no memory again of the sin. Not that you don't remember that when you were a bad boy, you were a bad boy. That's not it. It's your capacity and ability to do that thing again. And so we need cleansing of that memory. We need cleansing of that record. Praise the Lord. And then the next verse says, that's not that next verse. My little children, this is the right unto that. If we say that we have not, past tense, sinned, because it's testimony that all men have sinned. And all came short. That's why we need the Savior. So you now ask, is this applying to Christians or not? I know not. Praise God. But I know that I've used it very much for those who have not given their life to Christ. If we say we have not sinned, he says we call him, we make him a liar. The reason why I'm here today is because I was forgiven. I was cleansed. I was a sinner. I didn't get there because I was cool with myself. So when you now come back to Pastor's question, where does all these things dwell? It's still, for me, to make it very simple and not try to make things complicated, is in the heart of man. Your heart. And whatever your heart leans to, you'll be a servant to. The difference between you and an unbeliever is that an unbeliever has no capacity to say no. But don't be fooled. All of us are exposed to the same temptations every day. Every day, Satan is bombarding us. Your advantage is that grace is there, Holy Ghost is there, angels are there, the Word of God is there, all kinds of resources are available to help you and I. Hallelujah. And so, what will give you victory is that you know how to make use of those things that God has made available for you and I. It's a choice if you refuse to, or it's a choice whether you will yield to the Spirit of God and fulfill or use the law of the Spirit, or you will yield to the flesh that you have been bought away from, you have been delivered from. Is a choice you and I can make. It's a choice. Unbeliever can't make a choice because they don't have the capacity, the strength of the Spirit to make that choice. Praise the Lord. Pastor, how about I've tried? I've not. I know you do. Is that a question? Okay, you know what just means to explain to that person?
What made me ask is so that a believer can know where he stands.
Okay.
And not
be swayed of majority. That's true. No. Yeah, this thing, look, me, I got born again. Only God knows how many times. When they make contact, I'm coming out. They will pray for me, cancel me. The next meeting, I'm coming out again. Praise God. It took some time before I began to understand some of these things. Small light began to come. Small understanding began to come. Amen. But I do not kid myself that I am a superman. That's the beginning of a downfall. That's the lesson I learned from Brother Samson, who took Satan for granted. The best book, Exposition of Satan, is by E.M. Burns, Winning the Invisible Warfare. The best exposition. He said, the Bible did not tell you to abuse. Satan is somebody you must respect. He's a formidable foe. Ah. He said, if there's anything you should learn from Satan, Satan does not give up. He doesn't believe in a no. Till Jesus Christ got to the cross, he was still there to deal with him. Satan does not believe that there's a no-go area, that there's somebody cannot tempt. But you will say, I can't pray to him, it's Dangote, he has money. Satan does not respect Dangote. Can we have that kind of mentality? That when you look at a non-believer, they don't move you. You don't understand what I'm saying. It's that mentality that David had. When he saw Goliath, he didn't see his height. He saw an uncircumcised Philistine. He said, who is this in a military palace? This bagger, this bloody civilian. Speaking against my God. Hey, Sir Yekin, Lord, bring his head. Let me go and bring his head. Do you have that kind of mindset? That nothing intimidates you. Some of you, they say, come and see your lecturer. You do like this, Father, name of God, Father. Name of God, you saw. To just a lecturer. Somebody worry please because your own is finished. Or a lecturer is harassing you, I will sleep with you, you will fail. Ah. You just tell him, sir, look, there's no problem. It's just 3 days fasting and prayer. I will kill you, I'll kill your wife, I'll kill your children, everybody. Just... he will let you go. Ah. I told you about Ogojo Ode. Have you heard about Ogojo Ode? Ogojo, sir. They fail me. But so what can fail me? But I can promise you, I will kill your wife, I will kill your children, I will wipe everybody out. It will take me 3 days to work. But okay, he share your job meta. Just doesn't know what kind of job you want. He's broken no more, yo. My love. My dear boss, I pray for me. My cripple. I will like you. I'm going to warn you. I'm going to like you. But, all right. You said, be going. But you know, you'll be shaking. There was a story of a lady who was owed money in this ministry. They didn't pay her money. One day she just walked into the office of the commissioner of finance and sat down. No one said, woman, look, what is that? Who are you? I'm a spirit. The man jumped up. Ah, spirit, what's up? I'm a spirit. Ah, is she a liar? No, she's not a spirit. They pay that money immediately. Yeah, I will do your own. Amen. So we are not. You are not a sinner like an unbeliever. You were bought and you were redeemed, and you have accepted what God did for you. Praise God. But as you move, you have to put away those things. But in case, Pastor, in case you sin. Say we have an advocate. In case. That means there's a provision. They don't expect you to go back to your vomit. But just in case you trip. Say you have what? An advocate with the Father. And that's why you can go back to him and have your case cleansed. And you are good again. Amen. Because the whole Christianity basically is a fellowship. Hello? Is a fellowship. So if something happens between I and barrister, it will take something to rectify that relationship. Are you with me? It's not as if you will cast me into hell, but I need to go back and meet my advocate to resolve the problem and have a cleansing, and then I can return to that fellowship. Amen. An unbeliever does not have that fellowship. He doesn't have it. The only way he can have it is to go and start from the beginning. return and give your life to Christ. I hope that's fair. Hallelujah. I haven't dealt with this chapter 1. I can promise you that chapter 2 to 3 John, you are in trouble. I've taken it myself on Sunday. Come on time. I'll be waiting for you. Hallelujah. All of you. Even if I can even no praise worship. So hello, Kadada. Go and ask Pastor D, Pastor Ogi. Go and sit down and ask them questions before I come and ask my own. Hallelujah. Some people don't come to church on Sunday. Okay, I will not be the one to ask. It will be Pastor Bello. Amen. They prefer. Glory to God. It is well. Father, we thank you. Can we please rise on our feet and just bless the Lord and thank the Lord? So much is embedded in this, but don't. He said, you know, I'm concerned with that place where Paul was right. He said, don't yield your body as instruments of unrighteousness. Can you pray and ask the Lord to strengthen your heart, that you will stop yielding and making your members available as instruments of unrighteousness in every area, whatever area you have been making available. Satan does not want to hold you. He knows he can't own you. For if it was not about possession, it was about usage. It was about usage. For the serpent, he wanted to use.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.